Oh, hey.
So what great thing are you going to start us off with this morning, this today?
I've got nothing.
Nothing? Nothing to
give? Just nothing to give. It's been a long day of my children denying me love and affection. I felt like a teenager or a tween who walked around going, oh my gosh, I'm so bored. Somebody play with me, do something. And my kids were like, no, I'm good. I don't, like, why are you here? Oh yeah, by the way, Mom, you're here. Can I get something to eat? Can you cut me up like 2 apples? No, I can't, Bryson. Thanks for asking. Then why are you here? Okay, cool. This was a crazy day, so.
Crazy day of nothing.
Crazy day of absolutely nothing.
Don't say there's nothing to do.
In the doldrum.
So no, but in my respect, with what I've been doing.
Yeah, what have you been doing, Nicholas?
Well, let's start off first as far as that we're back in Missouri now.
Woo!
Yeah, we were a month and a half in Washington, D.C.
The DMV area. And for those not aware, the DMV area is not the same as the DMV anywhere else and how terrible it is. The DMV is District of Columbia, Maryland, Virginia. Amazing area.
Right.
Amazing.
Where Josh Harley lives.
We can drop off that V. We can be part of the DM area, you know?
But no offense to Virginia.
Right.
Just to Josh.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Delta. I am Christina Linke. I am the main host for the show. I'm just kidding. I am the co-host. I'm one of the co-hosts for this show. And I am joined here by my husband. I am a sign language interpreter for the educational field, in the educational field. And I will introduce you or let my husband introduce himself.
Well, we have 3 children together, right?
Right.
And we've been married for...
I forgot those.
Shoot. Those of you that don't know, we've been married for...
13 years.
13 years. I've known Christina since I was 12 years old. So we've had a long history of...
Get to know each other, period.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's very... Yeah.
Friends first and all that sort of jazz.
Yeah. So 13 years of marriage, 3 kids later, right?
That's 3 carrots.
Kids.
Oh, I thought you said carrots. I was like, I've never heard that phrase in my life.
So I just left the classroom, actually. I was a science teacher for 10 years in rural America, or Missouri, actually. The whole entire thing was going back and forth between a master's program into the classroom for 3 years, into a PhD program, left that early, taught another 8 years, and then left at the end of last year to be able to try to figure out what I wanted to pursue. It was kind of a leap of faith into the next thing. So that's who we are, Nicholas and Christina, a Midwestern Heartland family of 5, and both in the educational field and going back, actually, for myself into the educational field.
You never really left.
Officially, no, because quite honestly, it was immediately going from the classroom, right?
You literally had your summer break like usual.
Right. And then it was done, and then I came right back in. So.
But you found out during our time in Washington, D.C. that you actually got the job.
Right. Right.
Like, I think I was at work one day at camp and I came back and you were like, so.
Okay. So we'll back it up. But yes, that is very, very true because I didn't really know everything that was going to go down because there was so much in life going on. And then we were in DC, we were in Maryland, and I was with the kids and got a phone call and said, hey, we would like for you to start as soon as possible. And I said, I'm not in Missouri right now. And right. then, you know, the 15th, it was like Monday. It was like, this is what it is. We're starting on this new endeavor with trying to push forward, changing education from not just one classroom, but trying to help to make sure there's changes throughout. So.
The real, real.
But we did get back. We are back in Missouri.
Yes.
Yeah.
Woo.
So we were, go ahead. Where were we?
We were in Washington, D.C., or as the people in that area know it as the DMV. Not as bad of a place as you would think, being labeled DMV. DMV stands for D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. So it was amazing. We're there for a month and a half, and it was amazing, right?
Doing what?
I was working for the university. They host a deaf summer camp there at the deaf university. And so I got to work with the woman who runs that and a bunch of amazing, talented individuals. And so I got to work with kids between the ages of 4 and 12. It was busy, go, go, go all the time. I will say, I will make my little admission here that we found the most amazing vegan food. And my stop, which I did not tell you as often as I did it because I was a little bit embarrassed. But there was a vegan, all vegan donut shop, Donut Run. If you're ever there in Silver Spring, Maryland, you should definitely check it out. But anytime I would go into work, I'd go, oh, you know what? Check my clock. I could probably pick up a donut or two, eat one in the morning, eat one in the afternoon, you know, and yeah. And then we go on the weekends and I'm like, I am going to gain so much weight on this trip. Fortunately, it kept me busy. I did not, but I do not understand how that did not happen this time around, but that is, I'm accepting that, but I definitely had more donuts than I will ever admit to anybody else. So,
and Donut Run's a really awesome place. It's vegan donuts, and they have a huge Black Lives Matter flag in the front windows.
Yep.
And yeah, it's just really great people.
That whole area downtown was amazing. It had so many pride flags and Black Lives Matter flags, just POC. It's not memorabilia, but just merchandise, things that featured African Americans. And it was just so cool. And so many people said, man, your kids are going to have such a culture shock. But we talk about those things all the time at home.
Right.
So they really were not shocked.
It was a very interesting aspect as far as we looked at it as an experience that we wanted the kids to have, to be like, step outside of Missouri and see the world from a different perspective. And after a while, they're like, yeah, this is what we
right.
normally
they loved
see
it.
On a normal basis at home. So,
yeah. I mean, they weren't surprised by anything. I thought it was really cool at the end. We met up with my boss for the summer, and her and her partner had lunch and ice cream with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really cool for my kids. I think Bryson was a little bit more nervous and acting out a little bit because he did not really know how to sign.
Right.
As much as he should have. But he was like, he just kept saying, Mom, if I say something, will you tell her this? Tell her I'm really good at Roblox and you know, all this stuff. And so I think that was kind of a kick in the butt for all three of them to realize, oh, I do want to learn more of this.
Right.
Vanny's talked about learning all the time. Anna has too. Bryson's kind of doing his own thing. He, you know, he's got the whole, no, I got my games. I'm going to be a gamer. I'm going to be a YouTuber. I'm straight. You know what I mean? Like, I'm cool. So, but the girls have always shown an interest in it, you know? So,
right. But
it was really cool to be able to meet up with her and show the kids my other part of myself. I'm not just a mom, you know? Oh my gosh, mom knows this stuff. That's really cool.
Right.
So, and then you did really well with the receptive.
Yeah, that's a pantomime in high school.
I was just really proud of you.
Thank you. But I think it was good that they got to see that culture and got to see you from another aspect, got to see you as like a career person that could really be appreciated in your own. And
I think they're going to bring some of that appreciation home. I'm just kidding. They haven't.
Well, my whole ambition at this stage is for us to lower the volume in the house, right? Because
you know who you married, right? I'm staring at the screen right now, and I am going over the line as always. My volume just keeps getting louder and louder. That is my children. I don't know if they're worse than me. Nah, they can't be. But sometimes they can get louder. I think Anna starts off with the loudest voice possible. As soon as she gets mad, it doesn't go like, oh my gosh, what are you doing, Bryce? It starts over at the top. It's ridiculous. So yeah.
Yeah, that's my goal, right? Is for whenever they ask for milk and
it's a goal all you want. You might never reach that goal. But it's good to have aspirations.
Why are you ruining my dreams? Just taking them all away.
That's what marriage was.
Taking them all away. That's what I've heard.
Just have to be really honest. You know what I mean? Sickness and health. Brutal honesty. That kind of thing. You know? Yeah. Radical honesty. Yeah.
Radical honesty. Yeah. Volume all the way up to 12.
Yeah.
And then also advocating for the deaf community.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
I can sign it and scream it at the same time.
Sure.
It's fine. It's fine. It's good. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
So, Nicholas, what are you actually going to be doing?
So, oddly enough, it's going to be also with a university. So, the thing that you went and did in D.C. to be able to target, you know, a certain different demographic of individuals, considering some of the opportunities that were... Not necessarily for you here. Like, go ahead. Like, as far as like you pursuing something in DC, you had a reason for going there.
Yeah. So I have found that it is, I mean, I know that everyone has their own situations. Mine is that I have a family. I mean, I wouldn't say they're young now, but it's very hard to feel like you can advance in your interpreting career when you also have a family that you have to take care of.
Right.
So for me personally, it has been, I've had ups and downs. I've advanced here and there, but it's been kind of difficult to be able to test and pass. Then you had COVID where when they finally decided to change the mentorship rules in Missouri, COVID had everybody locked out of, you know, doctor's offices and things like that. So it was almost impossible. I would honestly have to go back to college just to take an internship, just to do all of that stuff, just to be able to try to take the test again and pass.
Right.
And I took the educational interpreting test so that we could kind of leave in the summers and travel in the summers and interpret. I could interpret in different locations in the United States. And I thought, well, I'm just going to try for this camp too, because it is deaf and hard of hearing children and CODAs, which is children of deaf adults. And so it was really an amazing experience. And I will say that I came back receptively with so much that I had learned already. And I am going to be taking the test very soon. I will be taking one of the tests in September. But yeah, I just feel like I was just kind of stagnant here with trying to figure out how to push my career forward. And I didn't really feel like I was going anywhere. So I thought, well, what's the best way to do that? Get out of my comfort zone and take a summer job. I don't even know how many miles away.
Right. 14 hours.
Right. 14 hours. But
because in the Heartland, you measure everything in time, not in distance.
Yeah. So anytime I would say, somebody would say, well, how far away is this when we're in Missouri? How far away is this? I'd say, well, it's about 15 miles. Obviously, that means 15 minutes.
Obviously.
You know?
Yeah.
And
because you're going like 60, 70. So like you just do the math real quick.
Right. And so in Maryland, I was like, hold on a second. We are less than 10 miles from, I think it was like 7.5 or something miles where we were staying in Maryland. And it was 30 to 40 given the day. Well, given the day, 20. Let's just
be generous.
Be very generous. 25 to 40 minutes just to get to where I needed to go. I mean, and then when we moved, because we had to stay in another place for, you know, about a week or so, it was 3 miles and it took me 15 minutes.
Right. Right.
And I'm like, this is not cool. At all. Don't you know how we measure this speed in enforced, Missouri?
Yeah. Speed and force stop lights kind of ruin the whole time equation. Mm-hmm. like.
Bryson swears, Mom, did you know that if you're going the exact speed limit you're supposed to be going? I'm like, yeah, okay. Uh-huh. And he's like, no. Seriously, for real, real. In our family, for real, real means like, it's not a lie, which they lie all the time, but
right,
whatever.
Right.
Neither here nor there, nor for real, real. And
that's
so,
the play on the words, though, right? Like, for real, real comes from a cartoon back in the night. Like, well, I guess it was like early 2000s, right? Middle 2000s.
What? What are you talking about?
The drawn together cartoon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that was where we adopted the first idea of it. But, like, at the same point in time, like, real, real is like real, real. Like, you're taking a video because we have this
right,
thing, Linky 5, like, channel. So, that point in time is like, oh, this is the reality behind the real. So this is a multi-layered thing, but our kids don't follow it anymore.
Oh,
like,
no, for sure. No. I
like,
mean,
loses all value.
I don't even know if I could say one kid follows it, but yeah. So he said, Mom, no, for real, if you go, if like it's 70 miles an hour and you go 70 miles an hour and you go consistently at 70 miles an hour, you will make every single light. First of all, my thought was, what if I was going 70 and I hit a red light? Every single time I went to pass every light, would I not make it? Two, what about the time it takes me? I don't go from 0 to 70 in like no seconds.
Right.
I can't just automatically go back up to 70 and just be going, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, as a 10-year-old, I would say your logic is flawed. But I can't tell you this because you're going to go, no, Mom.
Because his logic is flawed.
Right.
It's like,
I know exactly what I'm saying, Mom. You're wrong. No, right. You're wrong. I don't know how many times Vanny will do that. Vanny, you did this. No, I didn't. You did.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Oh, okay. That makes it true.
Yeah, that makes it true. That makes, I mean, like,
yeah,
that's the way truth works now.
Mm-hmm, it is. That's a for real, real in her mind. Fine.
But yeah, the real aspect of it is that from my profession, I went from being in the classroom all the time looking at the degradation. Is that how you say that?
Degradation?
Sure, that's the way it was.
Yeah.
Science, not English, right? But for real, looking at
I
how
I knew
that,
there was a reason you asked me to join the pod.
Yeah, just correct my spelling on...
I'll correct you all day. It's not even spelling.
Yeah,
I mean, yes, but nobody sees spelling on here.
Just pronunciation.
Yes.
Yeah. I say words pretty right, that type of thing.
I pronounce words wrong.
Yeah. It's the truth.
It is.
But in all seriousness, the aspects of science, I saw it kind of in its decline in the classroom, and it really frustrated me, obviously, at the very beginning of whenever I joined the podcast. And going through all of these and now being where we are with the Delta.
Yeah.
So we kind of taken a turn because it was very personal at that point in time.
This is just a reminder that the Delta is a member of the Heartland Pod family of podcasts. Join us every other Wednesday as we grow this show into a reflection of our lives where family, school, life, science, and politics all converge. Check out some of our other shows, including the Heartland Pod, The Flyover View, High Country, and Let's Have a Chat. Also, you can check out some of our collection of family projects on glassroomhive.com, like our family YouTube channel called Stink Finks, Nicholas's 2-minute lectures on his Hourglass Science channel, and our published books. Whether it be our children's book, Dharma and Eldon and the Sandwich, or our new adult fiction like the Murray series. Another way to be transparent about progressive lives in the Midwest, glassroomhive.com. Now back to our show.
Because within my life, I saw it as this whole devotion throughout my entire career to making sure that people not only advocated for understanding science, but they legitimately understand what it means to apply science to what's going on. And when I was first invited on with Adam, it was interesting because in episode 7, I had just written a book, Malignant, to be able to like share with some of the people about some of my opinions about how the education system was and what I thought the future of it being. And I saw the exact opposite happening. And oddly enough, like Adam talked about applying science and letting go of our preconceived notions and that type of stuff on Monday's episode. And it really kind of struck me because we've been fighting this battle against being able to question your own thinking and being able to apply what you think that you know about the rest of the world and being able to like humble yourself and step back and go like, oh, I may be wrong. Like thinking about thinking is not a exercise that should be taken lightly, right? You might overthink something and be like, oh, I'm so confused now and I don't understand. Like it's the whole idea that you don't reach understanding, right? Conclusions are just the places where we get tired of thinking. It's the places where we get confused.
Right.
And then we just kind of give up and we go like, well, I guess I better go on with my day. But instead it was like a badge that people wore. It's like, well, it's all so confusing. I have no idea what's going on anymore. Nothing makes sense. There is no truth. Let's give up. And then just give up and adopt whatever you want. And you're like, no, dude, like you can't just bail. Like there's a difference between like accepting that knowledge is outside of our bounds. There's a difference between like saying, oh, we don't know. And then tagging on like the yet, or saying like, we don't know. And then I don't care. You know, I'll just adopt whatever makes me feel good.
That's what a lot of people do is, I don't understand it. I don't have time to think about it. I got to be done.
Right. And that's, I think, what we're trying to do more so on here than anywhere else is that I was trying to, on in my own way, in my small classroom, trying to advocate for people like, hey, think outside the box. And then like question, do you need a box for the students? And is there more that we can actually possibly be doing that is beyond what we as adults think is possible? And then it started to really resonate with me. I was like, oh, well, people pretty much after the adoption of all these different philosophies, we'll just call them that, we're extremely generous and call them philosophies about how truth actually works, to say like, oh, it's not about necessarily that there is no objective truth or only subjective truths or yada yada yada, and we could do that all day. It's more along the lines of, what is the usefulness of what you're saying, and is it honestly just counterproductive? And I think that's more so where I started seeing the little breakdown, is that most of the stuff, what I was trying to do, felt like everything was against me. It was like swimming up a waterfall type of idea, as an analogy that I recently heard. You're constantly trying to fight the battle, right? And even no matter how much you swim, you're just going to be pulled back down because the torrent of anti-intellectualism, of ignorance, is just drowning out any voice of reason, right? It's just, it's Vanny saying,
idiocracy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's a bunch of children. Yeah, it's a bunch of children that are sitting there going like, no, I didn't. That's not what I said. I didn't have those documents. I don't have those documents. What are you talking about? I don't have them. And it's like, no, we have them right here, sir. Like, you had them all. No. Mm-mm.
No, I didn't.
Nope. That's,
I don't know how many times I've told her, saying it out loud does not make it true.
Yeah, making your social media app named Truth does not make it true.
Right.
Like, but the perspective that I'm actually having on all of this now is that this whole truth aspect and this flux of back and forth isn't really the issue that I really have to battle. It's not like I have to deliver truth to the world and say, this is what it is. The real notion is like, we need to learn how to critically think again. And the problem is that adults have a very bad sense of adopting a belief structure and then advocating for that no matter what. And we can say all day, like, change the conversation, think critically, change your mindset, question all authority, question yourself, question all these things and think outside the box. Like, legitimately, anatomically, it's kind of done. Like, your brain can't do it anymore. Like, neurologically, it's shot. And we talked about that before, of sort of like fluid intelligence, neuroplasticity, right, and all that type of stuff. But anatomically, your brain at the very young age is able to make all kinds of connections that are not supposed to be there. Like, period. Like, end of story. You have all these neuronal connections going throughout, and that's why you believe in ridiculous things. As adults, we look at them and go, that is absolutely absurd. Unicorns? It's a real thing? The tooth fairy? You're like, you're still holding on to the tooth fairy. Is that just because you want the dollar underneath your pillow?
Sure.
Or is it honestly that you're like still holding on to this? And after a while, you're like, is it just that they haven't pruned that out? It's called neuronal pruning. Like, have they just not cut off those little dendritical ends?
Like the parents?
The kids. Like the kids, like as they grow, like more of education is about teaching them what isn't possible. Like, well, this is not possible, than what is possible. It's more about neuronal pruning. Like I tell you over and over again, like, listen, reality says this. Reality says this. Reality says this. And it makes it out of this fantasy land. So I think certain politicians, we won't name names. Everybody already knows what we're all talking about. But the point is like, I think there's either a little bit of like creativity, like neuroplasticity that's still, and this is being generous. I like to be generous. but a little bit of neuroplasticity that doesn't exist with those of us that are actually attached to reality versus the people that we've had as presidents in the past, like real recently, like the past, like president that, you know, publicly, like
just a few years ago.
Yeah, former president. Let's just love that term.
A former president.
A former president.
Naming but, no names.
Naming no names. But the my point is, honestly, is not just a point and say like over and over again that this is the way that it is, but it's a detachment from reality. Children behave like this. In a certain respect, it's creative. It's great. It's great if it's maintained as creative thought that can push the boundaries. But whenever you're a narcissist and you don't understand how things work, and you're kind of pushing the envelope for your own personal gains, or you're a goldfish, those of you that are speaking pod now, thanks to the episode on Monday, that you actually caught the whole thing. Like, those types of things, you just don't, you're not thinking whatsoever about trying to critique what's going on. It's just along for the flow. And instead of paddling up the waterfall, no matter how defeatist that is, you just get buried in the undertow of the, I don't know, Niagara Falls.
So. You always have such a positive spin and a positive look on life.
I'm just kidding. Well, let's address that then. Let's address that. So my new profession that I'm going into.
Yes.
Right? That I'm just starting. So it's like I can't give any super big details on it. Can't give you the deets on it because I honestly don't know.
You got no deets.
I got no deets. It's one of those things that I think it was, hey, this is the aspect of what we actually want to focus on, and this is what we want to do. Let's get there. And it really kind of provides the opportunity to be able to get there by inventing it. And I'm very excited about it. So it's rekindled my passion for wanting to do education, and not from the standpoint of like, oh, these are the solutions that we need to bring, and this is the truth that we need to deliver to convince everybody to believe in science, but more along the lines as far as like, oh, there is this other aspect of innovation that kids can do as long as we invest in real education.
And could you tell those listeners out there today where you found this job?
My wife helped me.
Who did?
The wife. The wife that is now pointing out the fact that she found the job. But it is great because I did feel very much like with the Crucible Schools, like I said, two pods ago, right? 29.
I don't even know what today is.
It doesn't matter. I'm talking about episode 29 of the Delta.
I've been off school and work for so long. I don't have a day.
It happens.
In my mind.
It happens. And school's starting soon.
Yes.
So we get back to that.
Yes.
So those of you.
School shopping is ridiculous, but I won't even get. I can't even begin to start that.
We do the tiny rant, right?
Right.
The adoption of school supplies that I now have to deliver to baskets and barrels outside of teachers' classrooms because we have underfunded public school education to such a heavy degree so we can give tax breaks to multi-billionaires, right? So that I have to continue to use my income to be able to do it. I love schools. I support schools. I will buy the things for the schools. But I've already bought the things. And I don't want to be that teacher that says to, as a parent, the teacher that says as a parent, right?
Right.
You know, I've already paid for this with my taxes. But like legit, I've already paid for this with my taxes. But just these guys and the state government are just like, thank you. Like, we'll take all the glue sticks now. Right. Like, we'll take the glue sticks. Like, give me the Crayola. Like,
it's like, I just found myself going, okay, hold on. How many glue sticks am I sending in? Let's just assume that there's like 15 kids in each class. Okay, so this many glue sticks times this many kids. And I did it with pencils.
Uh-huh.
Like, each of my kids sent in 48 pencils.
Right.
And I'm like,
it's a box.
That's crazy. Times how many children?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I just cannot even, like, that teacher is stocked for 5 years.
But they're not. But they're not. Like, the problem is it's so underfunded.
I know.
And the kids are going to break every single pencil and throw
them
all away.
I'm being dramatic. That's very hard for you to imagine. But I'm just like, this is
very hard for you to be dramatic.
Crazy. I know. I don't know where Vanny gets it.
But that is the aspect. So as you go back into the school year, as we start school again, back to school shopping and all that kind of stuff, I think we both wish you the best. Christina's diving right back into educational interpreting.
So excited.
It's good.
I'm so ready.
And the kids are diving back into their classrooms, right? They're starting public school education again.
Yes.
Very excited about making sure that they have everything that they need. And we are very hopeful. And when I said school was dead last time, I obviously was not telling the truth.
Right.
Because after that, my wife helped me find an amazing job that it is from the frying pan into the fire. So in a certain respect, I will be working with rural schools all across the Heartland, particularly in Kansas, to be able to help make sure that we can implement programs to revitalize the way that we do education in Missouri and Kansas. So I really wanted to say, honestly, beyond all that, that if you're worried about the way that the school system is going, right, and you're worried about the way that how much school supplies actually cost you as a personal individual, vote different. Get involved. Don't give up. School's not dead. It's just starting.
And if anybody could tell me how to get one of those little ink cartridges things off of the backpack that my daughter bought and we paid for, that would also be really helpful before the start of school.
Yeah.
Bonus points if you don't make me go back to the store.
Yeah.
To have to take it off.
So please.
Defeats the purpose.
Please email us at heartlandpod2020@gmail.com to let us know anything else that you want to hear on the pop-up, particularly how do you get
that little ink thing off. Supposedly it can come off.
Don't give advice, because then we're, I don't know, suggesting that people do inappropriately breaking the law types of thing, illegal things.
Yeah. However, the guy that I found online showed his receipt. I got the receipt.
We just
need to know why it didn't go off before she walked out of that store. Now it's more work for me. Good luck. You're wearing that thing all year.
It's a charm.
Fashion statement.
It's a charm.
Oh my gosh.
The Delta is a Midnet Media production. You can check us out at heartlandpod.com or follow us on Twitter at @TheHeartlandPod. Please also consider signing up for our Patreon so that you can get exclusive merchandise as well as additional shows. And we'll talk again another time.